Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. We're going to have some fun now because anybody that knows anything about comedy, anybody that knows anything about golf, these two intersect when you talk about a movie called Caddyshack. I have been quoting lines from Caddyshack for a very, very long time, and it's fun. It's a lot of fun. We're going to be talking in a second here to Chris Nashawaty. He has written a book called Caddyshack, The Making of a Hollywood Cinderella Story, and I have devoured this book.
Yeah, it's only been out for about a week and a half. It's a great book. It is really, the thing that is so funny is Caddyshack, ostensibly, you know, not the greatest movie ever made, but he treats it like right. It's Citizen Kane. And I love fantastic. That. The detailed treatment is really great.
Chris Nashawaty is a film critic for Entertainment Weekly. After 20 years at Entertainment Weekly, he's become one of the nation's foremost movie writers and pop culture authorities. You're playing the Caddyshack music.
This is the music background from the Yacht Club.
Chris has also appeared on CNN, NPR, and GMA. And the book is Caddyshack, The Making of a Hollywood Cinderella Story. Chris, thanks for coming on the Mike O'Mara Show. How are you?
My pleasure. Thanks for having me. Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, as someone who I'm like every 50 something in America, I've probably quoted Caddyshack lines for my entire adult life. This had to be a labor of love for you. It sounds like it. And reading it, I got the impression that this had to be a thrilling experience. I have the first question I'll ask you: why so late with the Caddyshack book? Because I mean, it's been around for a while. Why didn't you write this sooner? I'm curious about that.
Well, it took me a long time to interview all the people I talked to in the book, for starters. It kind of began as an article in Sports Illustrated back in 2010. And as I was interviewing people, I just saw that there were such great stories that there was something bigger there, a book.
Here's what I like, Chris, about the book. I think more than a lot of movies, there have been rumors and myths and legends surrounding this. But you confirm a lot of stories I've heard. I don't know where to begin. There's so much in this book that I didn't know. But there are a few things you confirm. And I think the biggest one would be the fact that Bill Murray did indeed ad lib a lot of his stuff, if not all of his stuff, in the movie Caddyshack when he played Carl Spackler. And I was just going to suggest that maybe the book took so long to write because you had to wait for Bill Murray. Because he's a difficult guy. He's a difficult guy to pin down.
He's not an easy guy to pin down. In fact, Bill Murray is sort of the rare Hollywood guy that does not have any sort of publicity machinery. He's got this 1-800 number that you call and you leave a message, and it's sort of like casting a prayer into the void. And he may call you back. He may not. If he does call you back, it could be in a week, could be in a month, could be in a year. Fortunately, he did call me back and gave me a great interview once I got him. But it is true. I mean, Bill Murray, almost everything he does in the movie is completely improvised. And, you know, in the early drafts of the script, the character Carl Spackler wasn't even there. He didn't exist. And, you know, it was only when Bill came on board and showed up in Florida on the set for about a week he worked there, you know, they just kept finding more and more stuff for him to do because his stuff was so great.
We're talking to Chris Nashawaty. The book is Caddyshack, The Making of a Hollywood Cinderella Story. Chris, I want you to talk about Doug Kenny, because there are people that aren't super into the business of comedy probably don't know that name. But from reading the book, I learned a lot about Doug, and he created an awful lot of comedy. In fact, modern cinematic comedy, I think he played a large part in creating all of this stuff, originating at the Harvard Lampoon, going to National Lampoon. And this guy, I found myself after reading your book, I want to know more about Doug Kenny, who lost his life very young. This is a this is just a fascinating human being here that it all sort of sprung from him, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Doug Kenny is really the most brilliant comedic mind that most people haven't heard of. He was an editor at the Harvard Lampoon, the country's oldest satiric magazine, and then he went off in 1970 in New York to start the National Lampoon, which was a really hot, you know, publishing sensation in the 70s, and it was sort of a cross between, if you can imagine it, Mad Magazine and The New Yorker. It was just raunchy and funny, but also smart. Yeah, it was great. And then, you know, he made a lot of money off of that, and he decided that he wanted to get into movies. So he and Harold Ramis and another writer wrote Animal House, which, you know, was a low-budget afterthought of a movie. It cost $2 million to make and ended up making $140 million, becoming the highest-grossing comedy of all time. And so everyone wanted to get into work, you know, get into business with Doug Kenny when that movie came out. So he and Harold Ramis pitched the idea of Caddyshack, which, if you think about it, is a lot like Animal House in that it's a snobs versus slobs comedy. This one just takes place at a country club.
Yeah,
a theme I still enjoy. A theme I really do enjoy. And the Caddyshack itself kind of comes from the whole experience of the Murray brothers, who were caddies back in the Midwest, where they did that. But this guy Doug Kenny, you have a couple of moments in the book where you reference, I forgot who he's talking to, Chris, but he's talking to somebody and they see a lobster tank and he references the fact that in China they have puppies there that are
you know, in restaurants in Korea.
I found myself just laughing at his throwaway lines, and it was fantastic. Just a brilliant guy, and I don't want to give anything away in the book, but you find out a lot about him and what happened to him, and just an incredibly poignant ending, because this guy was revered among the National Lampoon, Saturday Night Live crowd. This guy was truly a legend, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. You talk to people. I've talked to people like Bill Murray and Chevy Chase and Harold Ramis. I mean, these guys are pretty funny guys, you know. Let's be honest, you know. And you would ask them, who's the funniest person or the smartest person you've ever met? And to a man, they would all say Doug Kenny. There was no one like him. He just was, you know, like this whirling dervish of really smart comedy. And, you know, Doug also had his demons. You know, the book sort of chronicles his sort of spiral into cocaine addiction and, you know, his eventual disappointment with the way Caddyshack came out. It wasn't exactly the movie he had in mind that he wanted to make. I don't think he was a big fan of The Gopher, but these were concessions that he made, and he really beat himself up over it. But yeah, what a brilliant guy, and one of these geniuses who, you know, like, he made millions selling The Lampoon, and he would get these checks in the mail for like $150,000, and he just people would find them, you know, he wouldn't know where they were.
He just laid in money, didn't mean anything to the guy, and all that. But I will tell you, as a disc jockey, I'm 58 years old, Chris, and growing up, thank you, Rob. Thank you for the applause. I appreciate that. Growing up in the you know, cutting my teeth professionally in the radio business in the 80s, I thought there were drugs in the radio business. Oh my God. The substance abuse that is going on, it sounds like it was everywhere. I always thought it was 1941, that movie on the set of that that was out of control. Caddyshack was, if not a close second, it might have been a tie. There were drugs from Rodney through Doug Kenny, this guy. The drugs were everywhere on this set, right?
Yeah, it was insane. I mean, they shot the movie in 1979 in South Florida, which, you know, if you've ever seen Miami Vice, you know that that's pretty much the gateway into America for cocaine. And, you know, a bunch of young, wild, crazy guys making a movie, you know, with no real studio oversight. Look, I'm not going to say that everyone was doing cocaine and getting high while the cameras were rolling.
Ted Knight was kept. He went to bed at 8 o'clock, as you write in the book.
Ted Knight was the only guy on the set who was a clean living guy, and it drove him crazy. How much you know craziness was on the set and drug taking. And he just thought it was really unprofessional. But yeah, they really. When they called rap for the day, these people really they weren't going back to their room to practice their lines, or they were, but not their, you know, lines in the script.
You know, what's cool about this book is you, because you've heard the stories about, there have been a lot of stories about Chevy Chase and when he left Saturday Night Live that, you know, there was bad blood. This is really, I got to tell you something. It's a great book if you're interested in Caddyshack, but the first part of this book, you're chugging along with the history of how these comedies, yeah. these iconic comedies like Animal House. And by the way, it, just personally, I do sound like kind of the Dana Carvey character. In my day.
Right.
But it doesn't seem like, I mean, I measure all comedies by Animal House
mm-hmm.
and Caddyshack now. If Doug Kennedy had lived, do you think, would he have eventually flamed out anyway, do you think? Or do you think, you know, who, it's difficult to put your prediction hat on.
Yeah.
Or do you think he would have given us more? He would have given us more Doug Kenny kind of comedies. Because after that, after he was gone, we didn't get him like we did before.
I know. I do think he had a lot more ideas in him. And I think that we would have, you know, burned brightly for a while. I mean, if you look at Harold Ramis, who was, you know, one of his best friends and who directed Caddyshack and co-wrote it with Doug, mm-hmm. you know, he went on to make a ton of, you know, he was in Ghostbusters. He directed National Lampoon's Vacation. He directed Groundhog Day. I mean, he had a lot more years of making great comedy. And I think Doug would have too. Unfortunately, we'll never know, but I think he was just a really, a revolutionary figure in comedy. And, you know, that is hard to keep up for too long because there's always a next revolution waiting around the corner. But I do think, you know, he had a good decade in him that we didn't get to see.
You, if you love comedy, you got to get this book. It's Caddyshack, The Making of a Hollywood. I'll let you ask one question, Rob. I just wanted to ask one more thing because in reading this book, you're nice to a lot of people. You're very cool. You're cool about Chevy. You're cool about the relationship, a little tense relationship they had about Bill Murray and Chevy. There's one guy I kind of read between the lines, Chris, that you kind of maybe didn't think the slicky boy known as John Peters, who
right.
is the hairdresser who had the relationship with Barbara Streisand. And I come away from the book thinking this was the, you know, he let people run and he was part of that culture too. But this guy was, this was an interesting character.
Well, you know, John Peters is an easy guy to sort of make fun of because he's so larger than life and he's so, in a way, such a huckster and a blowhard.
Right.
But the guy has had a remarkable string of successes.
Sure, still doing it.
If there are people criticizing Peters in the book, I try to let them do it and not,
right.
you know, do it
sure.
too much myself. But, yeah, Peters is an interesting guy. I mean, he's an easy target. You know, he sort of always got tarred with the brush that he only got into the movie business because he was dating Barbara Streisand. But, you know, he was smarter than that. And he was the one who actually came up with the idea of the gopher being the thing to tie the movie together, because when they finished shooting Caddyshack, they just had a collection of really funny scenes that had nothing to do with each other, and they had to find a way to connect them, and that was Peters' idea, which you could argue the gopher, whether you like it or not, really saves the movie.
So much information in this book. Rob, I know you wanted to ask Chris.
Yeah, I was surprised to find out that Doug Kenny was not pleased with the outcome, because it's become a modern classic. When you've interviewed almost everybody that was a principal player in the making of the movie, some of them not with us anymore. When you spoke to them, were they mostly proud of the project, or was there anyone who was sort of displeased with the outcome as well?
No, I think for the most part, I think everyone has a real soft spot for the movie because, you know, it came at the beginnings of their careers, you know,
right.
Chevy Chase and Bill Murray. I mean, like they sort of look back on the making of that movie as, you know, this sentimental time. You know, they wouldn't have the careers they had if it wasn't for movies like Caddyshack. So I think they all look back on it fondly. If they, you know, Ramis, before he passed away, I interviewed him a few times, and, you know, he sort of acknowledged that the movie was sloppy and not particularly made. It was his first movie as a director. He called it his $6 million scholarship to film school. I don't think it's something that he would put at the top of his resume as, you know, this is my greatest movie. But I think everyone appreciates it for what it is. And over time, as it's become this real cult movie that everyone quotes, I think it's really, you know, gone up in their estimations a lot.
because you're the film critic at EW, I want to ask you this. You look at Caddyshack, and I think everybody can make the case, it's not that great a movie. It's just a series of phenomenal gags.
Yes.
And I've always said that, and I'll ask your opinion on this. I think a great comedy, at least in modern cinema, is a series of just memorable, great gags. All the comedies that I love, I will quote from, I will remember that. What don't you think, is that what makes a great comedy, is just having the right gags and sewing them all together?
I think you put your finger on it exactly. I mean, I think that's exactly what makes a comedy memorable. I don't know, you know, does it need to have this great narrative story that, you know, has a beginning, a middle, and an end?
No, sure,
that would help, but yeah. Geez, it's not necessary. I mean, look at something like Anchorman or Austin Powers. Those are just
right.
gags strung together, and those are movies that you can quote, and Caddyshack's one of those movies. I think the thing about Caddyshack is that it's sort of a sloppy movie, it's sort of a mess, but I think its imperfections in a way sort of make it perfect.
And in a summer where your publication that I was just reading has Mamma Mia, the sequel, coming out this summer, that's the summer we are looking forward to, I have to say. We need more Caddyshacks out
there. Oh, yeah.
There. And last question, I'll let you go, Chris. The biggest surprise writing this book, something that you found out that that blew you out of the water.
I'll tell you, there were a lot of surprises, a lot of stuff I didn't know, and I thought I knew everything about the movie. But the one thing that really surprised me was just how much Ted Knight and Rodney Dangerfield sort of hated each other.
Really?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, that's great in the book.
And Ted Knight, you know, I mean, he was this professional actor who learned every line and was ready to go every day, you know, every comma, every period in the script, he had it memorized. And Rodney was just making stuff up left and right. So when they were sharing scenes together, Ted Knight would really get angry. So, you know, Judge Smales, his character, who's always like fuming and like angry and, you know, full of rage. That is not just acting, my friends. That is the real deal.
And the biggest laugh, the book's very funny also.
Oh, yeah.
My biggest laugh next to some of the Doug Kenny said was, Rodney, do your bit.
He didn't know what action that. Meant. They would call action at the beginning of a scene. He didn't know what that meant.
He didn't know what it meant, so he'd say, Rodney, Harold Ramis would say, Rodney, do your bit.
Do your bit.
And, you know, Rodney was an insane tip. This book, for connoisseurs of that movie, I
Tasty.
Love it.
Tasty. It's
I
a great book.
You're going to love it. It's going to be great for the summer. I think you're going to have a wonderful success with this, Chris. And we'd love to get you on talking movies sometime. And continued success. And thanks so much for taking the time and talking to us.
Oh, it was my pleasure. You guys, it's a lot of fun.
That's Chris Nashawaty from Entertainment Weekly, and he has written a book called Caddyshack. What a great book this is. This is a lot of fun, and it's the history. The book is a history of modern comedy.
I love that he was still so into the movie, because he's had to have watched it 600 times, and he still lights up to talk about it. That's
it's
pretty
it's
high praise.
It really is. We had a good time. I had a great time reading this, but yeah, the one thing I'll give you from the book, and you'll get it when you read it, but Rodney, multiple times, Harold Ramis calls. They talk about the first scene when Rodney walks into the pro shops.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They'll take three of these, four of those pennants, five of these, six of those, and they call. This makes me. I laughed out loud reading this. They go, action, Rodney. Yeah. And Rodney just stands there. And Rodney, because Rodney was a complete novice about film.
Yeah, he didn't know what to
do. Yeah,
he'd been in some tiny little film that didn't see the light of day. And then do it again. And Rodney, Rodney, when I call action, I want you to do that. And it ended up where he said, Rodney, and Rodney says to Harold Ramis, says, hey, you want me to do my bit? He said, yeah, Rodney, do your bit. And then the way Chris's book reads is that after that, he went in and he did that scene, maybe on the first take, that scene where, cause it's a one shot deal where he walks in and he goes, hey, and I hate giving away all these things.
That's
in the
okay.
book, but there's so many little gems there. When he says the line of, it looks good on you though. The line that was ad-libbed by Rodney was, yeah, get a hat like that, you get a free bowl of soup.
An ad-lib?
That was an ad-lib.
Oh, that's great.
And Bill Murray ad-libbed like the whole damn thing. And they were all Chevy Chase, Bill Murray, Rodney, they were all improvisation. Rodney, because he was a stand-up comedian.
Sure.
And Bill Murray and Chevy Chase and those guys, because they came from the improvisational comedy background with Saturday Night Live and the Lemmings,
the Second City,
and all these groups.
It makes me feel a little sorry though for Ted Knight, because that had to make him miserable coming from a scripted background. But you know,
he came from Mary Tyler Moore, which was regimented.
Yes,
where they had the very regimented, you know, shoot it, read what's on the page, and do that. But as Chris writes in the book, the real tension between Rodney and Ted Knight was what worked for the movie.
Yeah.
And I think Ted didn't like the fact that as the movie developed, and by the way, you know, what started out, it wasn't like they shot the script. This movie evolved as time
they
went on.
They kept on changing,
right? Yeah. Gopher in post-production with the Gopher. But I think Ted Knight didn't like the fact that he was kind of evolved into Rodney straight man. But if you go look at Caddyshack, Ted Knight was standalone with the Judge Smale.
The movie doesn't work without Ted Knight because, yeah. I mean, the classic thing is that he said snobs versus slobs. If you don't have a snobby figurehead to target, the comedy doesn't work. Yeah. And so that's why he's most important.
You know, when I'm talking about Caddyshack or Animal House, I do feel like the old fart because this is like,
there's no
comedy like that. There isn't.
Like,
to this day, there isn't.
Sheer construct of entertainment and how we consume it will not allow for that type of breakout film again.
Yeah. I don't think it could ever happen where you would have complete novices, which Harold Ramis was as far as a director. Throw them down in Florida, you know, in the 1970s and all.
Get a Ziploc bag full of blow.
Someone would die.
Yeah. I'd have to ask him whether, you know, I wonder about, no, it's a terrible thing to say.
What?
Because, you know, drugs are bad.
But Mike, there is a question.
They did such wonders for comedy.
Well, I know this. If there had been no drugs, we'd have less background shots of Rodney shaking.
At least it was pure.
Yeah, good stuff. Good flake.
Good stuff.
All right. Yeah. Well, thanks to Chris, and get the book Caddyshack. It's out this summer, and you'll love it. And hey, we can start the show now. Yay!
Yay!
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Excellent round.
Top notch.
Oh, thank you.
Say, I'm having a little party at the yacht club this Sunday. I'm christening my new sloop. What are you doing this Sunday?
No plans?
Great. How'd you like to mow my lawn?
Huh?
I figure a college-bound fellow could use a few extra dollars, huh? And when you've finished, why don't you drop by the yacht club?
All right.
I've got a little poem that I'd like to read in honor of this occasion, if I may. Spaulding, get your foot out the boat.
It's easy to grin when your ship comes in and you've got the stock market beat. But the man worthwhile is the man who can smile when his shorts aren't too tight in the seat. Okay, Pookie, do the honors.
Bless this ship and
Flying
all
wasp.
Who sail on her. I christen thee the Flying Wasp.
This is Wade Byard, the Public Information Officer for Loudoun County Public Schools. The Mike O'Mara Show has decided to start now. Please make all necessary arrangements to listen. This is the Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, and Oscar Santana. And now, without further delay, here's Mike O'Mara.
We are live from the heart of our nation's capital in the Podcast Village Studios. This is the Mike O'Mara Show, a radio show and podcast with a worldwide network of listeners who get it. If you're here, you're in the know. You can listen 24/7 on our new Playapod app. It's got time-coded bookmarks, great media controls, customized settings, and a sleep timer, plus the ability to call the show anytime, anywhere. Download it now on iTunes or at the Google Play Store. All items for our weekly mailbag can be sent to Rob with two Bs at MikeO'MaraShow.com, and you can call us anytime. At 888-920-MORE. That's 888-920-6673. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now and brought to you by FabFitFun. Carla O'Mara's new favorite thing in the whole wide world.
Oh, Carrie, too.
Are you still trying to figure out the perfect gift for the woman who gave you everything? FabFitFun is everything you need to make Mother's Day magical. FabFitFun is a seasonal subscription box for women everywhere to discover new brands and products for a life well lived. Mom will love it because FabFitFun is like 12 gifts for the price of one. Goodies from lots of categories like health, beauty, fitness, lifestyle, and home, valued at over $200, but you only pay $49.99. These are full-size products, no samples of anything. We all ordered FabFitFun boxes for our ladies. They love them.
Yes.
Try FabFitFun today. Go to FabFitFun.com to subscribe and start getting the box designed for a life well lived. Use promo code TMOS to get $10 off your first box. I'm not going to make it. I've got a cough. Excuse me.
You know what the thing about FabFitFun? They had a mug in it that said, I'd rather be napping.
Yes. Yeah.
And it would never carry drinks. I'm like, everyone knows that. You don't need to put that on a mug, Carrie.
Use promo code TMOS to get $10 off your first box. Thank you, Rob. That's just $39.99 for products valued over $200. Again, go to FabFitFun.com and use the code TMOS to get $10 off your first FabFitFun box. Welcome to the show.
I just this never happens. I got a thank you text from the author. He said he had a great time.
When you do these interviews, here's how it works. You get these people, they come in, the bigger the star, the more regimented the time factor.
Yes.
How much time did we have him? I could have gone. Yeah, you could have gone on.
We had an open-ended 25 minutes because he had a cancellation week.
Oh, I forgot. You should have texted me that. I could have talked to him for another hour. He was fantastic.
I liked how you both were battling for questions. And then something happened. Rob called the book. He used a descriptor where I said, I think I've heard it one other time on the show. He said, it's tasty.
It is a tasty book.
And
it's a great read.
I almost threw up in my mouth because I've never really heard that.
Yeah,
right.
With it's your like participation, with your participation in the interview, you could have thrown.
Well, I didn't want to talk over Mike like you were.
Oh, I see.
I would tell you this about the book. The book is a primer for modern comedy because it talks about the origins of the Harvard Lampoon, mm-hmm. and you still could probably go through the ranks of who's the anchor for Saturday Night Live Weekend Update.
Colin Jost.
Colin Jost.
Yeah,
he's a Harvard.
Yes,
guy.
Run he's by a woman these days. By the way, don't you that's, know?
And The Daily Show was populated with these Harvard guys. These comedy guys. I was talking to Rob before the show. These comedy guys come from the Ivy Leagues. These are eggheads. These are guys that have taken their brilliant education and their brilliance to be able to get into Harvard, and they use it for good, in my opinion, comedy.
There's the process to be accepted to the Harvard Lampoon after you've been accepted to Harvard. You know what that process is like?
It's incredibly tedious, arduous, I would say, and... it's these eggheads that are so brilliant, but they use their brilliance for comedy, and it's rarefied air.
There have been years where they haven't accepted a single person.
Yeah, no one measures up.
Funny enough, and they have to for the Harvard Lampoon. They have to write a comedy essay that has to be accepted, and then they go to the next level. It's really, and then they just get in there and they all drink and party and have a fantastic.
I don't know if you know this. I don't know if I've ever mentioned it. I was blessed enough to be accepted into the Virginia Commonwealth Lampoon, and all you needed to get into that was a hand buzzer, a novelty hand buzzer. That's all you needed.
That doesn't surprise me. And you've been writing puns ever since. But throw that together with the substances that were circulating around, because I shouldn't say this. Oh God, I shouldn't say this. With improvisational theater and with the substances that were floating around, there was an air of fearlessness to these guys that they didn't really care. And when you talk about people that are doing these comedies, I always talk about it on Saturday Night Live. The more dangerous, the better. The more risky, the better. The Farrelly brothers are a great example of that with their movies because they, they take risks and they do fun stuff, and it's crazy.
Don't do drugs, but you can go back to the painters of the 1800s drinking absinthe and cutting their ears off. Sometimes dangerous substances bring you to great creative outcomes. Like the Beatles' best work was done smashed out of their mind on marijuana.
We should have done more drugs on this program.
Well, we can.
No, there are two hearts here I'd be worried about.
We love alcohol.
That's true.
This is terrible. We are sending the worst possible message, but I will tell you.
Kids, don't do drugs unless you want to be successful.
And don't drink.
Fun shows when we've been. Yes, Rob.
Don't drink. Don't drink.
Thank you. Okay. All right. There we go. I get. I don't care if we run late.
Would not be okay with cocaine.
Let's stick to downers.
It would explode.
It might actually prolong my life. Rob looks sleepy.
Talk amongst yourselves because I'm trying to bring up
what downer shall we have?
Well, they say there's an opioid crisis, which says to me they must be easy to get.
Don't do that.
No, no. I've been growing poppies at my house. I'm going to make my own. I thought that might be nice. Have you ever done heroin?
No.
Okay.
I hear it's expensive.
Well, I hear it's great.
I won't even take the good stuff because I'm scared of the addiction.
I know.
You know. If I was ever, and you know, I know this is sort of a painting with a broad brush, but if someone said, Rob, you only have months to live, which could be true right now, but no one said it, I would love to try heroin.
Why?
Because it's got to be fantastic. Awful. Can you imagine? What?
I have to ask you about Jimmy Cerito. Did you by any chance, don't give it away.
I won't.
But did you happen to see his post last night?
I don't think so.
All right. Let me set this up.
Okay, please.
Anybody was hurt. All right. This is really
okay. Always, this is like, this is if you ever need to know how to cut a best of segment for a radio show, if the opening sentence is, I don't think anyone was hurt, start cutting.
Hopefully everyone's okay.
Jimmy.
No animals or babies were hurt during the making of this film.
Come on, Jimmy.
I don't know.
Oh, good. Okay. All right. This is There are big gaps in this.
Okay.
There are big gaps in this. This is going to take a while. Bear with me.
Please.
We've done this before with Jimmy. All right. Rob, this is for you.
Thank you.
This is my gift to you right now.
Bless you.
All right. So here's what happens. A transformer in downtown Herndon explodes and catches fire.
Oh, no.
All right.
This is tragic.
So, you know, Jimmy is the optimistic fatalist.
Yes.
There's nothing Jimmy likes more than drama and publicity. And he loves to be in the moment.
Yes,
right?
He does.
So as I look at this video, I'm seeing what appears to be a fire at the top of a telephone pole. That's it. This is not a building on fire. This is not anybody, but this is, there was an explosion and a transformer.
Yes.
Jimmy rushes to the scene and tries to do his very best dramatic CNN reporter piece.
Oh, no.
Like, I don't know. All
this
I know,
is Jot Moss. This is Jimmy's Old Town Tavern, Man on Street.
Is. But all I know is I stopped. I went into my computer. I logged it. I said, I have to put this on the show. I wrote down top of the, this is like 8 o'clock last night, Jimmy Cerito, man on the scene reporter. Now, there are lots of big, remember, he's showing videos, so we're going to have to wait for the dramatic pauses. But
okay.
This is Jimmy, and all this is, nobody's dying, nobody's,
no.
This was a transformer fire.
Which, but by the way, I believe they're designed to sort of burn out.
Like a match.
It was a big fire. Yeah. It was a big fire on this transformer, but listen to how Jimmy does this. Ladies and gentlemen, we go to CNN right now, and our man on the street, not Jim Acosta from CNN, not Don Lemon, this is Jimmy Cerito. Let's listen.
Downtown Herndon, Virginia, April 25th, 2018. It's a terrible transformer fire. And electricity is down everywhere. And there's been two loud explosions.
Yes.
And it's not looking good.
It's not looking good.
Oh, no.
It's not looking good, America.
Mike, it's not looking good, America.
Does he think he is?
Hey, April 25th, 2018.
Let me play it again.
Downtown Herndon, Virginia. April 25th, 2018.
Teen.
A terrible transformer fire.
Terrible. Terrible. Oh, my God, it's terrible.
And electricity is down.
The whole village is burning down. And if you see the video, Rob, it's this
explosions.
Little flare.
Of course.
There's no monster
fire.
It's not looking good. Power's out everywhere in 2018.
Well, there's the fire truck backing up.
Leaving. That's how bad it is. Oh, this is nothing. We're out of here.
And the fire department lost power.
The fire department lost power.
The video looks like they're kind of letting it burn itself out.
Sure.
There's no not putting
Jot
water
report.
On it.
Jot report.
Okay, now you're seeing the video. It's like sunset, right around sunset.
Yeah.
About 11 hours ago.
This is no way to bring on the night.
Jimmy, we need another update.
Narration, Jimmy.
Come on, Jimmy.
What are you seeing, sir?
Uncle Dave has to go home.
Give us an update on this tragedy. This incredible tragedy.
Station 404 is here.
Oh, God.
Name shout out.
It's a nasty fire at the
top
of
these houses are evacuated.
Evacuation.
The houses are evacuated.
It doesn't look good.
Now, I have to stop
Please.
And tell you that the fire does not appear to be any danger to any of these homes, but it is. It's definitely burning at the top of this transformer, but it's going to be okay because Jimmy's on the scene.
Sure.
He's just letting the video speak for itself, as any good Cub reporter.
That's what a broadcaster does.
He's like downtown. It's filled with smoke.
The entire... Now I have to correct him there.
I would believe the camera would communicate that if that was the case.
It does not appear that the entire downtown area is filled with smoke, but I could be wrong about that. I was not there with Cub reporter James.
Should we Tiberius throw it back to Cerino? The Vin Scully of Herndon as he paints his picture?
The truck backing up, the fire truck. I think he wants more trucks there too.
I like trucks.
He wants more fire trucks there.
Yeah. Well, who doesn't?
Really sparks coming down too. Very scary. He's right. Jimmy's right in the way.
Of course. I'm surprised he's not being showered with sparks.
Jimmy, an update, please. I need more.
Come
need
on,
more
Jim.
Information from you, please. Can you give us a little bit more update and paint the picture? Tell us what's happening at the scene of this terrible tragedy in Herndon.
Mike,
hope they've evacuated all the buildings.
It's an unspeakable tragedy. And power is out, the entire grid is out, and things look bad.
One fire truck. I expect quite a few more are going to begin arriving.
Quite a few more?
Quite a few more are going now, to begin arriving.
If he's close to the fire...
What a jerk.
Isn't the fire station across
Don't
from Jimmy's?
He's a jerk. Stop it.
Well, because this is... Look, let's be honest, right?
It's
this
almost
is
over.
Not the Jimmy we don't know. Him. We don't know this Jimmy. We
Brain
know...
He's been hurt.
We know...
We have to call Jimmy. That's it. That's the
I
end
told
of the
him
video.
To call the show. I already texted him. I said,
Jimmy's
please call the
call.
Show, right?
Jimmy's got to call the show because I have to find out if he's okay.
Yeah.
If
but isn't isn't the fire station literally across the street from his restaurant?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah, they lost power, too. They lost
so,
power.
So what they can walk over there. They don't need to send out a lot of fire trucks.
That's
I want
okay.
them all.
That's
there
okay.
were
Jimmy
two firefighters not even looking at it. They're talking to each other, not looking at the fire.
April 25th. 2018. I'm at the scene. Something terrible has happened. We'll take a break. Maybe Jimmy will be up. He won't be up.
Because I think later on I see on his Facebook page, Jimmy used the opportunity to have a party.
Yeah.
So
I'm surprised he wasn't cooking wings on that fire.
Transformer party?
Transformer Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, there it is. Yesterday at 2:31 a.m.
Yeah.
To the nights we won't remember and the friends we'll never forget. Anyway, thanks, Jimmy. We'll
hey!
Take come back with more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Reilly Show.
Hi, this is Cam Sinison, and I want to have a little heart-to-heart with you. You go through your week and join the Mike O'Reilly Show, laughing and feeling good because of the three gentlemen behind those microphones. Well, those guys work hard for their money. Maybe you're thinking about just listening to the free daily show and not bothering to buy a bonus show subscription. Don't do it! Ow! Ow! Mike, Rob, and Oscar depend on that money! You're taking the food out of little Michael's mouth! You monster! How can you live with yourself? Robert and Julia have no decent clothes for school! All the kids will laugh at them! Oscar can't keep his technology and trendy clothes up to date because of you! Shannon's going to leave him! You leech! Stop sucking! Ow! So if you don't want a crazy guy yelling at you, you should really buy that bonus subscription. And if you don't, well then I'll be haunting you day and night. And you don't want that.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Reilly Show. We want to tell you about Cornerstone First Financial.
Yes.
This is the time they are going to raise the rates, and our friends at Cornerstone First Financial, they will be your assistance in this complex financial world. You don't need to be an expert because Cornerstone First Financial has all the expertise you need.
Yep.
If you're buying, if you're selling, if you're refinancing, all you need is Cornerstone First. They know exactly what to do, so even if you don't, you'll still be okay. It's a fact.
that interest rates are going up. So all TMOS listeners need to act now to refinance, to take cash out, or pay off debt before rates go up even further. Cornerstone First Financial is here to help. They can figure out your best financial moves and get them done for you so you save money. Approved by Mr. Oscar Santana. Click their banner on our website or call Cornerstone First Financial 202-625-1221. Mention TMOS and receive a free appraisal at closing. Personal attention from application to closing. Licensed in Maryland, D.C., Virginia, Florida, Georgia, and Colorado. Don't wait. Now is the time to call Cornerstone First Financial, and we thank them, ladies and gentlemen. Before we go on, let's get a news update.
Thank you.
Downtown Herndon, Virginia, April 25th, 2018.
What a mallet head. Anyway.
terrible.
Transformer fire.
The date, April 25th, 2018, the date of the terrible transformer fire.
Yes, people will be Herndon, talking Virginia. About it for minutes.
Hey, can we just call him so like we maybe
we can cold call him if you
ring.
Want.
I want to hear it ring too. I want to hear see if we can wake him up. You know, the date of the I want to find out if there were any other God, what would we do though? If something really bad happened, like somebody really got hurt. That would be really
that's
that
the fun part. Mike.
Then we would delete this audio file.
Yeah, April 25th, 2018. No, the date and of terrible. Terrible fire.
Fire 18.
This is the gamble we live with Cerrito. But if you threw a party afterwards, it's not because somebody passed away.
No, no. But I do love the fact
that might have been the night before. You never can tell with Jimmy because it's always a party in the Cerrito world.
Are you calling his landline at home?
I'm calling his cell.
Oh, okay. He might be coloring.
April 25th.
Let me see. He might be almost up.
Yeah, depends on last night. He might have been, you know, bringing buckets of sand to the transformer all night.
Mm-hmm.
Makes you sleepy.
I have terrible. A second number if this does not work.
Hi, this is Jimmy. Leave me a message.
Hi, Jimmy. I'll be back to you. All right, let's call the second number. Okay. Let's try the second number.
I have his home
you know
number.
What? I'll tell you. You know what's as fun for me is the exercise of trying to reach Jimmy.
What's that?
Who's up till 4 o'clock in the morning? You know, after a night like this.
Yeah.
You know, because he pointed out. By the way. He wanted to point out that Jimmy's was still open.
He loves doing
power.
That. Yes, he loves that. Blizzards, Christmas Day,
any
never closes.
Any emergency.
Yes. Come in
well,
for the
does.
Coldest beer
open.
In town.
That's what makes him a great
25th, 2018.
Why am I laughing at the timestamp?
A terrible transformer fire.
It's his home phone number.
And electricity's down everywhere.
Hello?
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 Someone just hang up on us?
Is Maureen mad at you? Because I'm trying
Maureen
to think.
Maureen Donahue Cerrito may have just hung up the phone.
I believe I'm on good terms with MDC right now.
I feel like we got to call back.
I think so.
Can't let that happen. Walk away.
Or send an intern over to check on him.
We have had more fun with this man, James Tiberius Cerrito.
He's like, I don't want to deal with you jerks.
Hey, where's my red colored pencil? Don't pick that up, Maureen.
Hope there's no loss of life.
All right,
terrible transformer fire.
Hopefully he's known he's been hurt. That's very
call
nice.
Call him back.
Good.
Let's see if he's home.
Shay Cerrito.
That was somebody picking up the phone and hanging up. Might be somebody's name.
Manassas, Virginia. Home of the king.
Hello?
Hello? Yeah.
Hello, Jimmy? Jimmy?
No.
Maureen?
Yes.
Did we wake you up?
I don't know. Who is this?
It's Mike O'Mara from the Mike O'Mara.
Yeah, come on,
show.
Bo.
We're on,
come on,
we're on the air right now.
Sorry.
Maureen, I'm so sorry.
You didn't wake me up.
Okay, no, you're up. You're the one that has the
she
day job.
Thought you were about to have a Me Too moment with
Maureen,
her.
After the terrible transformer fire, we were just calling to make sure that everybody's okay.
Well, I'm okay. I don't know about the town of Herndon.
That's okay.
Is your husband available by any chance?
Yes, he is. Hold on one
okay,
second.
Okay, very right. good. Thank you so very much.
Mike, he's in the study. Planning the telethon to rescue Herndon.
No, he's in bed watching a Western.
Wow.
Always, always gold.
A
always
Western.
Gold. Always gold.
It's 9:30 in the morning.
That's how he spends his morning.
Watching a Western. Up so early.
Hi, Jim.
Hi, Hi, Jimmy.
Hey,
how are
boys.
You?
Hi, TMOS Nation.
Jimmy, we were.
What's up, Mike?
We were. Hi, Jimmy.
You Mike, you
great.
Should start by saying that it, what the day is.
April 26, 2018, the day after the terrible Transformer fire of Herndon, Virginia.
You guys are killing me.
2018. Jimmy, we just had to are you okay?
Yes.
Was there any loss of life at the terrible Transformer fire in Herndon, Virginia?
No injuries, but it sounded like bombs going off in downtown Herndon. It was nuts.
Yeah, I heard that there were people that heard it from very far away. And I just want to say, Jimmy, and we'll make this brief. I want to thank you for your on the scene, on the spot reporting. We've played it two or three times. Yeah. That you have done, you will be featured on the
microphone.
let's play one more.
Yes, please.
Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jimmy on the scene last night. All right, here we go.
Downtown Herndon, Virginia, April 25th, 2018.
I got this.
It's a terrible.
Terrible.
Transformer fire
of Herndon, 2018.
Hey, Jimmy, I'm checking the wire here, and it says they're blaming the blown transformer on an overload based on used kitchen equipment from a Hooters.
No comment.
Jimmy, go back to what Western are you watching this morning?
I'm binge watching Rawhide because I never ever watched it.
Rawhide?
Are you coloring?
Yeah, Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, Rowdy Yates.
Okay. All right. We love you, Jimmy. We'll talk later. Go back to watching Rawhide. We love you. Thank you. I'm glad you're safe. I'm glad everybody's safe. Did you have an after the Transformer fire party at Jimmy's last night?
He's gone.
All Instagram and say yes.
He sounded, boy, that's Jimmy prior to 10 a.m.
Hey, you know, I love how he's keeping up on modern media. After Rawhide, he's going to catch up on Father Knows Best.
He's binge watching
Rawhide.
He's binge watching Rawhide. I love the man. You can't. That's an American original. That's the way that goes. Oh, my God. All right. Oh, we will talk about
2018.
I don't understand.
We'll be right back on the Mike O'Mara Show. Off my
eyes. This week on the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show.
Threw the toy for Frankie last night, like for about 10 minutes. And Frankie came back over with the toy. And I'm like, toy. Beluga, clack, 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 clack. I'm trying to watch Killing Eve. Clack, 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 clack. Clack, 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 clack. And I said, where's he going? What is he doing? And why is he doing it when the program I want to watch comes on? Clack, 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 clack. Bug eye. Sniff, sniff. Clack, clack, clack. You know. And by the way, he does the RJ Diaz move where he will go to the short side if he's in your way. He won't go wide. He will go short side. So I'll come up on Beluga. And I'll be standing in front of the dishwasher with 3 inches between my left foot and the dishwasher and the whole f***ing state of Florida on my right side. Will Beluga go around to the right? No. He will end run to go to the 3-inch side. Blam.
The Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Because 5 hours a week just ain't enough. Always available at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Yeah, that's why I'm going to die young. I do get that legitimately worked up about that minor effect.
You were. So, you were.
I love it when you're like, where is he going?
Yeah,
what are you doing?
He's an old dog just going.
Well, when a dog gets to a certain age, you have to wonder where they're going.
I know. It's tragedy. It's the tragic dog walk of 2018. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. I know you've heard me talk about my amazing Sleep Number bed. I love it. And I want to tell you about the 360 smart beds. They're so smart.
They're smart.
It's smart.
They respond to your every movement and automatically adjust to you. So here's some great news. Sleep Number is introducing even more of these innovative beds, and their latest smart beds are even more comfortably priced. Take it from me. I love my Sleep Number bed. Couples always disagree on mattress firmness, but Sleep Number beds let you choose your ideal firmness on your side so it's just right for both of you. You can actually feel how it contours to your neck, shoulders, back, and hips, relieving pressure points for a more proper spinal alignment. I believe it saved my back, and I mean that sincerely. My Sleep Number setting is an 85. Carla's is a 65. Last night, 90, my Sleep IQ score. Come in now to see the latest Sleep Number 360 smart beds with introductory savings up to $300.
$1,000 plus special financing. Just ask the Sleep Number store for details. There are more than 550 Sleep Number stores. Visit sleepnumber.com/TMOS to find the store nearest you. And they don't want us to say I sent them anymore? Is that what it is?
You can tell them. I mean, it never hurts.
You should tell them.
Please tell them.
Tell them I sent you. Please do that.
Mike O'Mara.
Downtown, Herndon, Virginia. April 25th, 2018. It's like a terrible transformer fire.
Terrible.
That's pretty much like the New York blackout in the 70s.
God,
Mike, do you know how many children are going to be born in Manassas 9 months from today?
Wait. I think I got it. I finally got it.
Okay.
We know that Jimmy is a media whore, right?
There's not a camera or a microphone. He doesn't want to be in front of.
So there is an affiliation here, right? He loves local news.
He does.
Yes.
And he probably has, and I've done this on my end where I've sent Tony Perkins videos for things that are happening around the city because I live in the city, right?
And you even showed up once with a drone, right? You actually showed up and did the news. Yeah.
So I'll just send him things. I'm like, you can use this HD roll whenever you want. And he's like, do you want credit? I don't care. Put whatever you want on there. If you want to use it, right?
Yeah, the weirdest one he sent was Oscar flexing.
Yes. A tree down, a fender bender, an accident. Right. I'm usually around because that's my life. I'll send him video. Jimmy probably's doing the same thing. He probably sent this to a news station.
I would have loved to ask him, but I'm not calling him back while he's watching Rawhide.
No. But that's probably not during Rawhide. That's why he had his CNN voice on.
He was using his low-key Channel 5 voice. That's true.
Yeah, he was. He was being serious. I have to ask this question. So did I miss this? I guess there was Sarah Fraser part of some controversy where she talked about a guy getting into 20 colleges. Did you guys hear about this?
Yes.
Did you know about this?
There's a big to-do here.
All right. Mm-hmm. Everybody's giving me crap about the fact that I didn't ask her about it. I'm sorry. I plead ignorance. I didn't know what the deal was.
It's sort of a rearview mirror thing, though.
She did it, and then she owned it, right?
Yeah.
She apologized.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yes.
What it was is she called him the kid that got into 20 schools. They called it. I didn't see the clip, so I don't know,
Mike,
what context.
The people that are making a big deal out of this after she's apologized are this.
She's apologized.
Yeah, she's
Holly
apologized.
Holly Morris is not. That's the way I read it.
Yeah,
I don't know whether that's true or not.
Sarah has apologized.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
In this country where we have this effing world where people are publicly shamed after they apologize and they go out of the way to make sure that they have a constructive conversation about race in today's culture, that she had multiple people on her program to discuss this against all odds. The idea that you're still trying to hash this up, get over it, people.
Yeah.
People make mistakes.
But the important thing to point out is that she really
addressed it.
And I wish I'd given her a chance on this forum to reach a few more people and tell her story. I'd love to get her back in if she ever wants to come in and talk about it.
Anytime.
And talk about that would be, I would like to get her in if she ever wants to come in and talk about the context of going through something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I am blessed that we've had minor controversies, but never one like that. And I'd like to know, because I like Sarah Fraser, and everything I've read about this incident allegedly is something that paints her in a pretty good light for owning her S.
Yes.
That's the way I got it.
And she went out of her way against, you know, all direction to make that happen for herself, because she wanted to make sure the world knew that she's not this type of person.
Right.
And her body of work dictates that she's not that person. She's not a hateful person. She's a kind person.
She's a very genuine person.
Is she a regular on Fox 5?
Yes.
Okay.
So on my end, just for context, I get really passionate about this because remember, I think 4 or 5 years ago, I would say three, I read that book, So You've Been Publicly Shamed, right?
Yeah.
And it talks about how you can do one thing and somebody takes that one clip and then turns it into like a situation where you could lose your entire livelihood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it can happen. It can happen. And it's a crazy, it's developing as we speak. It's a new world, and you never know when that can happen. And the allegations in many cases can be more damning than the actual truth. So I wanted to explain to everybody that sometimes your boy,
Mike,
when he's reading, 300-page books about Caddyshack, misses the stuff. When I'm watching the Washington Capitals get, into the playoff, the second round of the playoffs. By the way, Officer Rice and I, Fried and I,
tonight,
had a wonderful chat. We just had,
If you had heard, you could have recorded our conversation and put it on the air, and it would have ramped everybody up for the second round against the Pittsburgh Penguins with Fried and I going back and forth, talking about Caps hockey. And I want to apologize in advance to the Caps Nation, to the people that root for that team, because I am on board.
Oh, dear.
And that has proven to be disastrous in the past. Okay. But maybe, look, it will. I will get off the schneid if they get to the third round.
If meaning
they get
what?
To the third round.
Some would say you're off the schneid now because you're on board.
Well, no, I don't know. I just look.
You're here on a business trip.
I mean, what are you going to do? Paint your face?
No, the thing is, everybody that watches the Pittsburgh Penguins play, listen, sports guy, the people that watch the Penguins play the Caps know that there is a history of disappointment and agony in the Caps fan base, which your friend William Stillwell should be able to tell you. You would know that if you didn't just go to the game as something to do with your kid and
don't
Oscar
make this
with,
be hateful against me.
Notice goes, you guys are not turbo hockey fans like I am.
But I know the storied history of between them and the Penguins. Like, there's ugly bad blood, and there's Sidney Crosby, who everybody hates.
But it's also this legacy of losing that they have.
Yes.
Sucks. Mm. That's the thing that I'm concerned about.
The first playoff series I ever went to was Pens Caps. And they lost, and we walked out of there miserable.
It's horrible.
With you.
It's horrible. And
there is nothing
saying,
more quiet or orderly
than
the
exit. What year
was
that, you ask? What year did they lose to the Pens? Every year.
In the hope springs eternal, though. Hope springs eternal. I'm saying that even though we have date night tonight, we have an early babysitter, I am not going to be a pleasant dinner date because I'm going to want to bust ass to get back home to turn on that television at 7 o'clock for Caps Penguins and playoff hockey. It's red hot.
Are you going to hit the Rhea tonight?
Yeah, we probably will. That's
do they have a
exactly
TV there?
What we're going to do. Not with the Caps game. I don't think it's going to be down here. Let me give you one Florida wildlife update.
Please. Cool.
Carla and I, you guys know where I live down here, that we have that little lake system. They're really not lakes as much as they're more like canals, little drainage ditches, really. But they are tied into the ecosystem down here. We are blowing up the golf course, and they're doing a tremendous amount of work. I'm awakened at 7 o'clock every morning with doot, doot. Dude, as they're all doing the work out there. I'm playing golf with my buddy the judge yesterday, and he tells me that Carl and I have had an argument about whether the little guy gets to go out back and hang out by the canal because she's worried about that, you know, that kid up in Disney that got taken by the alligators. And I said, well, if I stand next to him, we can throw a line in the water and fish. No, we're not doing that. I'm here to say
what
her argument gained a little headway yesterday.
Well, there's a twofold. Mike's not fast enough to save little Michael.
True.
Like he's not spry enough to
it
right now.
I know you're busting chops, but you may be, Oscar, I swear to God, I probably wouldn't be that fleet of
They're
foot
so
to grab
quick.
Him.
Yeah, they
Those
are fast.
Gators are fast.
We saw them at Gator World. They are fast.
You're such a rube.
No, we saw how fast they could move.
But Mike would be more tempting.
Those gators at Gator World were sedated and they were laying
fat?
In the sun.
Well, is that what fatter than funny? Your son.
He goes, yeah, well, if I wear this Diglo green shirt that I'm wearing. It's not about gators. So, but look, here's the way I always processed it.
Okay.
I would go out before the little guy came out with me and I would survey the area and see that they're, that, you know, visually check to see if the area was safe. Here's what went down. True story. Talking to my buddy, the judge, over the weekend on a Friday. I think it happened on a Friday. They're out there. They're moving dirt. They're getting down in these ditches. They're digging up drainage ditches and stuff. Dude on the work crew down here on Friday, bitten by a water moccasin.
Oh, my God.
Spends the weekend in the intensive care unit. Yeah. So the guy went totally gray. That right away, I went, okay. Because listen, alligator one thing, I can look, I can see where they are. The idea of a four-year-old getting bitten, I'm not sure that would be a situation that I would ever want.
No, so, not worth it.
I'm being the overprotective parent now. Although, you know, some of these kids that grew up in Florida, you know, they're out in the middle of the swamps all the time.
Yeah, the Joe Dirts of the world. Kind of
well, if you are a Florida native, it has been proven
Joe
that...
Joe Dirts, yeah, with their scooter sticks.
Mike, it has been proven that if you are a Florida native, if a water moccasin bites you, the water moccasin will die.
Have to be born in Florida, though.
But right? have to be blood relative. Yeah.
With or without the scooter.
Well, he's not scared of the water, right?
Not the pool.
Okay, well, that's fine. As long as he's comfortable water,
but
I'm not there. Getting,
but he's scared of the murky water that he's been talking about since he was a year and a half.
We all should be.
Oh, yeah, we should be.
Murky water.
He's my pride and joy. We'll take a break, and we will come back with news you may not need right here on the Mike O'Meara Show.
I'm Maddie, and this is my internship. I experience it twice a week at the Mike O'Meara Show. It's springtime here at TMOS, and that means love is in the air. With all the talk about intern dating lately, I thought I'd give the male interns tips on spicing up their Tinder profiles so they can find love too.
There you go, Maddie.
The ladies will love a picture of Dan O'Brien in a signature tight t-shirt with his hair blowing in the wind with the help of a Dan the Fan Man fan. All Andrea needs to do is upload audio recordings of him talking about his food recommendations, inside and outside the bedroom. Adrian would be sure to lure in fellow stoners with a pickup line like, "What kind of grinder do you use? Because you're extra fine." And Matt, well, he should just stick to the ladies on Overwatch. If you're in need of dating tips, comedic advice, or a daily dose of ridicule, then the TMOS internship program is the place for you. Just email Rob at MikeOMaraShow.com, and don't worry, you won't get paid.
That's a lot of information there.
It is.
Where's Mac been? Where's Mac been hiding? I haven't seen
Mac
him.
Mac passed away, Mike.
Oh, okay. No problem. Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show, brought to you by our bonus packages. Spring is here. Warm weather is back, so get ready for the annual thawing of your funny bones.
Yay!
Thanks to the TMOS bonus show. Every week, you can depend on an extra hour of TMOS fun, uncensored, and sans commission. Prepare for the humidity with our stupidity. Warm-hearted laughter and sunny, funny content awaits you around every corner. Let us enter the garden of your mind and plant our comedy seeds in your fertile laugh soil and watch them grow. Perfect for springtime fun. Whether it's t-ball, a game of freeze tag with your friends, or pruning your bush, the TMOS bonus show is always a welcome companion. Remember, the future of our show depends on it. The TMOS bonus show, now with 35% more bonus.
Yay!
And a full day's supply of vitamin C. Just go to MikeOMaraShow.com and click the bonus banner. You'll get access to all our bonus content, and you'll be helping TMOS. Let's make the TMOS bonus show spread like herpes on a class trip to Fort Lauderdale.
Whoa.
So please quit sucking, and thank you.
News!
God.
Boo.
A lot of Crown Royal in that promo, that's for sure.
Can you believe that commercial did not get me into the Harvard Lampoon?
You know, it's a bit. Charlie Rose was one of several men taken down by the Me Too movement. Well, he wasn't really taken down by the Me Too movement.
No.
He was taken down by the fact that he was kind of perving out.
Yeah,
that's
his behavior. He was the one with the robe, right?
Yeah.
The open robe. Yeah.
I believe that line may have been written by a dude.
Could be.
Sounds like he's already looking for redemption. Former Vanity Fair editor Tina Brown says she was approached to produce a show where Charlie Rose interviews other guys who got caught mistreating women, like Matt Lauer and Louis C.K.
Wow.
But she wasn't interested. She spoke about it during a recent women's luncheon, saying, quote, "These guys are already planning their comebacks." I have to pause for a second here and say it might be fascinating to see, these guys that have engaged in this horrible behavior. I'm sorry, Charlie Rose, you're not the one that does the interview.
Yeah, because if it is an offender interviewing an offender, then the only place that you can watch it is the Murky Water Network.
Murky Water.
Murky
I'd
Water.
I would watch a woman interview the men or another journalist, but I'd love to get into, hey, why did you feel this way? Why did you do that? And it would end up being the same answer, you know?
Yeah.
I let little Matt do the thinking.
Do the thinking.
That's exactly what it probably
the latest,
was.
The latest on Charlie. Matt Lauer's, he's liquidating his home in the Hamptons.
Yeah.
Right.
And he just dropped the price of his Hampton home by roughly $2 million. Like, he just needs to get out of it.
They have a great picture. It's on a website that's like one below TMZ, like BuzzFeed maybe, of him with a pizza and a 2-liter bottle of soda in a bag, just like trying to get his life together.
What a fall from grace.
Yeah, amazingly bad.
Amazing. Obviously, Avengers Infinity War is going to have a huge opening, but will it break records? There's a good chance. Right now, The record for the best opening weekend for a superhero movie in the U.S. is held by the first Avengers movie with $207.4 million. What, good? Are these movies great, these Avengers movies?
I beg of you both to go see this movie.
They've already said that it's the best movie they've made, but here's what I hate is that because we are rubes of rubes, yes, it's going to be the biggest opening ever.
Says Infinity
because
War
the media has told
to
us that
$225 million.
Don't you want to go and talk about something that everyone is seeing?
I suppose, but I don't like being
for our job and what we do, okay. So we can give our own.
Do you want to just
like
how about
it,
let's talk about
fine.
You shutting up. It's the news.
Why are you getting so mad at me?
Because you're yelling at me.
I'm not yelling at you. You are yelling at me. You're getting very defensive.
Well, I'm trying to think the last movie that was one of the...
Shut up.
Well, they're expecting it to make more than $225 million. The current overall record for opening weekend in the U.S. is $248 million, held by Star Wars, The Force Awakens. And some experts think Infinity War has a chance at topping that, too. Even if it only hits $225 million, that's still good enough for second place. The current number two is Star Wars, The Last Jedi, with $220 million.
It'll go 250 because the media is saying it's going to go 250, and the American Rube says, we have to go because America's
okay,
got to go
but,
see
but
it.
There's a problem with what you're saying. It's not the American media. This is a franchise that has been building up for the last 20 years, and okay. Marvel has done a great job for the last 10 of putting out these blockbuster films. So
yeah,
there is a compounding
genre.
Effort.
I'm not going because I'm trying to ignore something that's huge for pop culture, but I'm not worried that the people that are going to go see this are going to be frustrated if I don't go. But I like to keep an open mind and say, is there a chance that I will be entertained? And especially as my little guy gets a little older, I might
You'll be sharing in. These with him.
But I hate the genre. I hate action adventure. I hate it. It's like explosion, 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 explosion. It gets boring. That's all. If there's story or like CGI, I've come full circle on it. I love
it's better now,
CGI.
Yeah.
Much better.
But even Wonder Woman, which was arguably more of a story.
Yeah.
It was long.
God, it was just so dull. Just dull. Ooh, I can bump the bullets off my arms. Yeah, like that. I want it to be, if it's compelling, I'll
bad.
Watch it. But it's by and large, it's an idiot comic book movie.
You didn't
it's
like Wonder
idiots.
Woman, even if they cut out, like, I would say a third of the movie. You didn't like the movie.
No, I liked watching Gal Gadot. I liked watching her. I thought Chris Pine, they did a credible job. But it's just too much.
Did you
it's
like Deadpool?
It's like Deadpool I loved.
Yeah, but that's sort of an
Deadpool
outlier.
Deadpool I love.
That's an outlier.
It's a comedy. Yeah, it's a dark comedy, right?
Well, it's going to make a gazillion dollars. And it's just like, it's the polar opposite of the guy I was talking to before. That was just intellect and being funny and story and talent. And this is a guy sitting in front of a computer and painting a movie. Without any real acting and without any real... It's like bing, bing, bing. Who can create the best computer-generated effects? And it gets dull. It really, really gets dull. Now, CGI can be spectacular. I've said this before, and Oscar, I mean this sincerely. When they have CGI that is designed to recreate reality and they're painting a movie and like they're painting something that looks real... Like, say, Sully, the movie Sully, where you're like, they did a lot of it there. I like it. When it's like, when it looks like a Listerine commercial on steroids, I just,
on the poster.
I
took offense to was the notion that we're just going to go because everybody's going.
I still think that's a part of it. I think that based on, it could be a horrible film, although it is getting good reviews.
If that were the case.
It's a pack mentality.
Everybody in the studio would go to the movie. I'm the only one that's going to go see it because I want to see it. And I'm fine with that.
All right. And let me explain what the difference is. This movie, I don't doubt, will make $250 million. It will. It'll set a record. And it'll never be remembered.
That's a valid point.
Because they have like 10 other tentpoles coming out in the next month.
Yeah, but see a movie like that? How many years ago? Okay, 1980. We're still talking about
it. The construct of the entertainment
business then
allowed for
that. You know what their budget was? $6 million. That's what their
But did you know that Brian Doyle Murray was actually all CGI?
Okay, enough of this. Game of Thrones fans, speaking of pop culture, have been waiting on the next chapter from George. Hold on, let me get this up. From George R.R. Martin for 7 years. They'll have to continue to wait.
Oh, George.
But he will have a different Game of Thrones book out this year. It's called Fire and Blood. It's the first part of a planned 2-part series about the Targaryen kings of Westeros, which is set 300 years before the events of the TV series. It's hitting bookshelves November 20th. Naturally, people are asking whether HBO will use anything from this book as part of the Game of Thrones prequels they're developing. George says he's not allowed to say anything about that, so it's apparently possible. Doesn't he take an amazingly long time to develop stuff? And that's
what's the name of the new book?
It's a prequel. It goes back. Fire and Blood.
I don't know that he knows anything about fire, but I'm pretty sure that he knows a lot about blood.
Thank you. Well, maybe the feeling of fire. debit card fraud jumped about 10% last year, and having your debit info stolen is worse than a credit card because they can access your actual money. So there are situations where using a credit card or cash is better. Here are four of the riskiest places to use your debit card. On the internet.
Okay.
Beware. Restaurants, gas pumps, and janky ATMs that aren't associated with an actual bank.
Oh, so like the ones you would find sketchy.
Happened in Vegas. We were at the cantina that we usually go there.
Yes.
They have
Paradise Cantina.
Yeah, they have the little stand-up ATMs.
Yeah, an ATM should never be freestanding.
My brother went to it, and he's like, oh, something happened with my card. So I went to it, both cards locked. Somebody tried to hack them out, and I went and I called the place. I was like, "Hey, you got a situation with your ATM card?" Nah, everything's fine. I'm like, "Sure, it is."
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's probably they're probably the guy that owns the bar that's doing
it. Or somebody on the inside.
Yeah, inside the machine was Peter Dinklage.
This is
Rob.
That's tying it back into Game of Thrones.
That's right. I didn't say Vern. Okay.
Thank you. Can I continue? No.
Yes, I'm sorry.
This is not going to help the reputation that today's kids are beyond fragile and coddled. At the University of Utah, there's a new cry closet in the library. And students who are stressed out can pop into the closet to cuddle with some stuffed animals and cry it out. The closet was designed by an art student at the school, and there's no word on how much hold on a second. All right. Listen. Intellectual institutions. I don't know whether you're aware of this. You're under siege. I am for you. I just interviewed an author that was talking about these Ivy League guys that were brilliant, that created...
That did blow all the time.
That did blow all the time, that created our comedy pop culture. This is what you do when you create a cry closet. I am not going to say that I'm like, you know what's the easy line here? These like, oh, those pampered college kids.
Right.
You're feeding the narrative of anti-intellectualism in the country by allowing this to happen, okay? Because there are certain groups, you know who they are, who will feed on this and talk about the snowflakes and the coddled institutions. Our educational institutions, along with other institutions, are under attack. When you create a cry closet, you feed into that narrative. So stop doing that. Thank you. That's kind of my take.
They should make one for the parents and students that are paying the tuition at your college.
Yeah. Yes, that's where the cry closet should be.
The cry closet.
And what pisses me off.
Kids graduate, they get the student loan debt, then they put them in a cry closet. Yes.
I just hate the fact they've stolen Carrie's idea.
That's a cry closet. She's in there right now.
Yes, she is.
Poor dear.
Really? Poor dear.
It's why she can't listen to the show. And now a little something. If yoga pants are truly the sexiest type of pants, and I guess it would stand to reason that from time to time, some people would want to have sex in their yoga pants. But that wasn't possible until now.
Hey!
Uh-oh.
There's a new product called Srirachas that are crotchless yoga pants. Now, they do have a flap over the crotch, so in theory, you could still work out in them. But all of the marketing makes it clear that they're designed for getting it on. You can buy them at srirachawear.com, and they'll run you $69.69. I don't know who came up with that price. Literally, every aspect of this makes me think it's designed and sold by a dude.
Yeah.
When asked about this particular new product, Oscar Santana said he didn't care.
Well, I actually want to hear what Andrea says.
Yes. Hello, ladies. Yes. Ciao, Bella. Is he in the room?
He's in the room.
Yeah.
What do you think? All right, I'll let him go to the commercial. Andrea, what do you think about crotchless yoga pants in 10 words or less?
Well, he gave us a thumbs up. You'd have to come
in
here.
He's in the other room.
Oh, yeah. He's
producing
in the other
the
room.
Show.
Oh, sorry about that. That's right. We'll take a break and then come back with the audio vault. I don't know what's going on. I can't see anybody. On the Mike O'Mara Show. We'll be right back.
Guess who, baby? Nikki Diamond! I'm here, but you know what? I never left, just like football. I'm always there, lurking. Free agency, the draft, OTAs, minicamp, preseason, Fantasy Playoff Super Bowl, Nikki Diamond, just like the Mike O'Mara Show, is always here when you need it, and even when you don't. It's a sure thing! Light him up!
We'll be back on the show soon.
Yeah, what a treat.
It is awesome. Draft day, Mike.
Yeah.
That's it. I love that. Nikki.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Some things never change. For example, if you need to shop, Amazon's still the best. However, if you want to make sure we get credit for your Amazon purchase, it's a little bit different now. You got to go to the website, people. Yeah. Got to go to the website and click on the Amazon link on our website. That's what we want you to do. Please help us out. Super easy. It'll guarantee that we get credit for your purchase, so start clicking. Easy. If you need it, Amazon has it. What is today's Amazon purchase of the day?
You have one, Mike. I have one right here. You need to get one. It's the Caddyshack book, The Making of a Hollywood Cinderella Story by Chris Nashawaty. If you like comedy in any capacity, you will love this book, and the link is right there. Grab it.
Get it.
It's the gopher. Gopher not included.
Amazon really does have everything. You can find that gopher book. I mean, it's the caddy.
It's a gopher book. Hey, you got that gopher book?
Gopher book.
Gopher book.
MikeOmaraShow.com. Get to clicking, all you Amazonians. Let's open up the audio vault, please. This is April 26th, the day after the tragic Transformer fire of Herndon. April 26th, 2018.
Transformer fire. How about congratulations and all good wishes out to Patton Oswalt, who had a huge day yesterday. The book that his wife was working on when she passed away about the Golden State Killer, researching, going all the way back through the 70s and 80s.
Pretty amazing.
They made the arrest. They found him largely based on her research, and they have already issued a statement saying, we never have and never plan to credit authors in assisting the finding of criminals in cold cases, but I think we all know why this happened. This has to be such amazing closure for Patton to be able to have this happen.
Patton coming on the show in a month or so?
Yes, he is. He's coming in town. Yeah, and also he's coming to the Kennedy Center in July. He's playing the big room. He was on Seth Meyers last night after essentially pulling an all-nighter, explaining his connection to the Golden State Killer and why this means so much.
My late wife, Michelle McNamara, as you know, was a true crime writer, true crime journalist, investigative reporter. And she, when she passed away, she was nearly done, three-fourths done with a book.
Yep, got it right here.
Called I'll Be Gone in the Dark, about California's worst uncaught serial killer, who she dubbed the Golden State Killer. He was responsible for 12 murders, 50 rapes over like a decade, had gone uncaught for 42 years. She did all this research. And this morning, I start getting texts and alerts. They arrested him today. He is in jail.
An ex-cop.
God bless you. What a great day for you.
Yeah.
And your wife is smiling from heaven. And what a fantastic development that was for our dear friend Patton Oswalt, and we're so thrilled. A policeman, correct?
Yes,
an ex-cop police officer
who actually
did this crap, this monster, this
exhibited
guy,
some symptoms, and they let him just go away. They never followed up. I don't usually hit the same source twice, but this was chilling to me. This is Patton reading his wife's words from the book.
One day soon, you'll hear a car pull up to your curb. An engine cut out. You'll hear footsteps coming up your front walk like they did for Edward Wayne Edwards 29 years after he killed Timothy Hack and Kelly Drew in Sullivan, Wisconsin, like they did for Kenneth Lee Hicks 30 years after he killed Laura Billingsley in Aloha, Oregon. The doorbell rings. No side gates are left open. You're long past leaping over a fence. Take one of your hyper-gulping breaths. Clench your teeth. Inch timidly toward the insistent bell. This is how it ends for you. You'll be silent forever and I'll be gone in the dark, you threatened a victim once. Open the door, show us your face, walk into the light. And that's what he did today. So it's like this.
Wow.
So cool.
Isn't that great?
Closure.
Yeah, closure for him and his whole family.
Michelle McNamara didn't know when she started that journey that they'd get the guy, but they got the guy, and she had a hunch that they would.
Yeah.
That's spectacular.
Speaking, we mentioned Avengers Infinity War. This is pretty great. This is Robert Downey Jr., Scarlett Johansson, Chris Hemsworth, Chris Evans, Chris Pratt, Anthony Mackie, Benedict Cumberbatch, Chadwick Boseman, and Tim Hiddleston. Essentially the entire cast to sing for you.
Here's the story of a playboy genius who was gearing up to form some sort of crew.
One's a former Russian spy,
a god of thunder, one fought in World War II. It's the story of a handsome Star-Lord, like the greatest to ever walk the earth by far, and a Falcon
and a magic doctor,
Wakanda forever. All the heroes were assembled to fight a villain who packed much more than a punch. And this crew was labeled the Avengers. That's the way we all became the Marvel Bunch. The Marvel Bunch.
That's cool.
The Marvel Bunch. That's the way we became the Marvel Bunch.
Hello, brother.
Shut up.
And of course, it's all set up with the blue background and the grid of nine. We have it on our Facebook page if you want to take a look at it. Pretty funny. Pretty
I like
funny
that. Also, yeah. You should know for this movie, some of these actors may not come back to reprise the roles. Either some may die off within the movie, but also some are getting a little long in the tooth that they might have to reboot them.
Robert Downey is not looking well in this video. He looks very, he looks sort of
set. How old is Robert Downey?
Yeah, how old is he?
I'll look it up right now.
He's probably a little older than me.
We have another clip from the Marvel movie that they released. It's really very a little late, but they brought this out.
Downtown Herndon, Virginia.
Oh yeah.
A Mike. 25th.
Mike
2018.
Is that a terrible boy?
Transformer fire.
There it is. Thank you.
Mike, I have to correct you. That's not from the Avengers. Of course that's from a Transformers movie.
Transformers movie. The Transformers movie, that's fantastic.
Born in 1965.
So he's 63? No, 53.
53.
All right, let's close with this. You want to maintain a good rating on Uber or you're not going to be able to use the service, right? Don't be like this guy. Here's news from Conan.
In Santa Monica, that's right, Santa Monica, a man was arrested for mass during an Uber ride.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, the driver got suspicious when the man kept saying, arriving in 2 minutes.
Oh,
that is your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great Thursday, everybody.
That's it, people. Thanks for joining us for the Mike O'Mara Show. Don't forget to listen 24/7 on our new PlayaPod app. And, Pony, we getting all those codes for people if anybody has problems?
Yeah, absolutely.
Are we getting to them and
absolutely
telling them everything's
best
all right?
Best service in town.
White glove. White glove treatment.
Customer service you will love. All snail mail for the show can be sent to the Mike O'Mara Show, Box 32101, Washington, D.C., 20007. Each day, on average, 96 Americans lose their lives because of a gun. Check out every town for gun safety and find out how you can end the tragedy of gun violence for good. For Oscar Santana and Rob Spiewak, this is Mike O'Mara inviting you to join us once again for the best part of your day, the Mike O'Mara Show. Bye-bye, everybody.
So long.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeO'MaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Hoo-ah! Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.